Angleton looks at me oddly. I'll be the judge of that. It all clicks into place, suddenly. Suppose you worked out how to build a Tele-Ulam configuration fusion device, a hydrogen bomb. That wouldn't qualify as revolutionary these days either, but that doesn't mean it's unimportant, does it? I must give some sign of understanding what Angleton's getting at, because he nods to himself and continues. The laundry is in the non-proliferation business, and Dr. O'Brien has independently rediscovered something rather more fundamental than a technique for landscaping Wolverhampton without first obtaining planning permission. In the States, the Black Chamber took an interest in her. Don't ask about where they fit in the American occult intelligence complex. You really don't want to know. But verified that it wasn't anything new. We may not have a bilateral cooperation treaty with them, but once they worked out that all she'd come up with was a variation of the logic of Thoth, there was really no reason to keep her, except to prevent her falling into the hands of undesirable persons like our friend Tariq Nasser. It's their damned munitions export regulations again. The contents of her head are classified, up there with nerve gas and other things that go bump in the dark. Anyway, once the mess was cleared up, he glares at me as he hisses the word mess, they really had no reason not to let her come home. After all, we're the ones who gave them the logic in the first place, back in the late 50s. Right. So that's all there is to it? I heard those guys. They were going to open a major gateway and drag her through it. Angleton abruptly switches off the Memex and stands up, leaning over the desk at me. Official word is that nothing at all like that happened, he snaps. There were no witnesses, no evidence, and nothing happened. Because if anything did happen there, that would tend to indicate that the Yanks either fucked up by releasing her or threw us a live hand grenade, and we know they never fuck up, because our glorious Prime Minister has his lips firmly wrapped around the presidential cigar in the hope of a renewal of the bilateral trade agreement they're talking about in Washington next month. Do you understand me? Yeah, but... I stop. Ah, yes. Official report by Bridget, no? For the first time ever, Angleton turns an expression on me that might, in a bright light, if you squinted at him, be interpreted as a faint smile. I couldn't possibly comment. I spin my wheels for a moment. Nothing happened, I say robotically. There were no witnesses. If anything happened, it would mean we'd been passed a booby prize. It would mean some bunch of terrorists came arbitrarily close to getting their hands on a paranormal H-bomb designer, and someone at ONI figured they could count coup by passing the designer to us for safekeeping, meaning they expect us to fuck up to their political advantage. And that couldn't possibly happen, right?
She's in the library, on secondment to pure research for the duration, Angleton says quite casually. You might want to invite the young lady out for dinner. I'd be quite interested in hearing about her research at second hand, from someone who obviously understands so much about predicate calculus. 5:30 already. You might want to go now.
Taking my cue, I stand up and head for the door. My hand is outstretched when Angleton adds, tonelessly,
How many made it back from the raid on Wadi al-Kabir, Mr. Howard?
I freeze. Shit. 2, I hear myself saying, unable to control my traitor larynx. It's another of those auditor compulsion fields. Bastard's got his office wired like an interrogation suite.
Very good, Mr. Howard. They were the ones who didn't try to second-guess their commanding officer. Can I suggest that in future you take a leaf from their book and refrain from poking your nose into things that you have been told do not concern you? Or at least learn not to be so predictable about it. Go away before I mock you, he says, sounding distantly amused. I flee, simultaneously embarrassed and relieved.